Good morning. It's good to be here with you today. Would you thank the worship band for being here today? Because they did a great job. They were extremely nervous when they walked in, and I thought they did an excellent job in that. So we were really excited that we could get a few youth to come up here and sing. And thanks, Missy, for pinch hitting and coming in at the last second to kind of help out with that as well. About a month ago, we were having a leadership meeting, and they started talking about having a youth Sunday because they said, you know, a lot of people are new to our church and they don't understand kind of the stuff that goes on at our church here on Wednesdays. And so that, and we don't have a graduation Sunday necessarily this year, because this is one of the first, or maybe the second time in 20 years, third time in 20 years, I don't know, that we don't really have any seniors that, to honor to graduate. So what a great opportunity it is for us to spend a Sunday in May kind of talking about the different youth ministries and the different things that take place on Wednesday nights. And so as you saw the video, we do multiple different things on Wednesday nights. But the best way that I can kind of explain it, that probably is how it works, really, the reality of the situation on Wednesday nights. There was a Super Bowl commercial about 20 years ago that I found that perfectly describes probably what the leaders deal with and do on Wednesday nights. So when you're ready, you can play that.
This man right here is my great-grandfather. He's the first cat herder in our family.
Herding cats. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy.
Anybody can herd cattle. Holding together 10,000 half-wild short hairs, well, that's another thing altogether.
Being a cat herder is probably about the toughest thing I think I've ever done.
I got this one this morning, right here. And if you look at his face, it's just ripped to shreds, you know?
You see the movies, you hear the stories, I'm living a dream. Not everyone can do what we do.
I wouldn't do nothing else.
It ain't an easy job, but when you bring a herd into town and you ain't lost a one of them, ain't a feeling like it in the world.
So, those of you that are volunteers on Wednesday nights, I'm sure that you can probably relate to that. Or those of you that have ever worked with children or kids or students of any age level, you understand that sometimes it's about herding cats and trying to get them all to move in the right direction without getting scratched, so to speak. But we have multiple different ministries we do on Wednesday nights here. So we have our youngest program is Lambs, and that is for preschool and younger. We have Kids Club, which is for K through second, and we have Club 316, which is third through fifth grade, and then we have The Rock, which is sixth through 12th grade. And as you can see on the slide there, there is the amount of leaders that it takes. And so from my time here, you know, as our youth ministries developed, there's sometimes that it takes more than those volunteers. It just depends on who God gives us and entrusts with us to minister to. Because that's kind of our whole objective and whole idea is, how can we be a light into the community? How can we reach the youth in our community? How can we serve the youth in our community? And how can we come along and partner alongside different families in order to kind of help provide a safe place for students? And that's from whatever ages it is. And those of you that were leaders in some of the younger things, it's probably nice to see some of the kids that started coming here when they were kindergarten, you know, or in Lambs, and now they're all the way up to youth ministry and teenagers' age. And there's a lot of you that are looking out there and like, I don't even know a lot of those people. And that's right, because we have an avenue where we're able to reach a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds. Some of them, they do. They're involved. Their families are involved in other churches, but they've found a home here on Wednesday nights. Some of them are completely not involved in church. But we have an avenue to trust God that he's going to give us the students in which he wants us to minister to. And that's kind of how we approach it along those lines. And so what do we do in the 90 minutes that we have? Each Wednesday, we go from about 6:30 to 8. And so we have a jam-packed hour and a half. And what you have to understand is a lot of times, especially in the high school age group, they're coming from school all day long. Then they have a little break for an early out. And then they have practice until 5:30, 6 o'clock. And some of them come straight from practice to The Rock. And so they've done nothing but run all day long. And so they come here sometimes hot, sometimes stinky and smelly from practice. But they come here and they show up. And so we kind of start There's elements of each one of these in each one of the ministries in which we do, but we kind of focus on games and small groups a little bit because we think, number one, that authenticity builds community. That's kind of a core value that we have. And what an awesome opportunity it is when you can do small groups or when you can play a game together. It helps you to develop and build relationships. And church doesn't necessarily need to be considered boring. And so it is a, even though you're out there playing a game or you're out there playing Gaga Ball, you're just hanging out with your friends, there is spiritual implications there. There's relationship chances that come and can be built as a result. Sometimes people don't like to play games. And so guess what? A small group leader can come alongside and just kind of talk to a group of students. What a great opportunity that is to see about their day, to check in on them, to see what's going on in their life, to get them talking and discussing. And so sometimes each game we have a game time and we do small groups. You know, sometimes the kids simply just need to get some of that energy that they have, and they have a lot of energy and they need to get it out. You know, a lot of times at our different ministries, we'll really promote the idea of bringing friends because we believe our core value is that found people find people. Simply, if you're found, if you're a person that knows Jesus, it's important for you to find other people that need to know about Jesus. And so there's times that we'll do event nights. You saw a picture up there that was an 80s night. You know, we did some different fun things like that. You know, sometimes we offer prizes for, you know, if you bring the most friends or you enter into a drawing, just things to really encourage the kids to bring their friends because normally they're pretty excited about bringing their friends. They're pretty excited. And in fact, they're probably a little bit more excited about it than sometimes we are as adults. They're really outgoing with that. And worship, there's elements of worship. And we believe that intimacy with God, intimacy will intensify your worship. And so we believe that if we provide a time of worship and reflecting on the glory of God and who God really is and allowing to there to be a natural response in there. So we try to have a time of worship. Teaching in small groups, we believe that growing people change. And so there's devotions and there's sometimes we use live church videos or whatever or not. But the point of the thing is we believe that growing people change. And so as a result of that core value, there's a devotion, there's a teaching, there's some sort of topic in which we go over. And so we get all of those things in into 90 minutes out of each week. Some of the other things that we do that kind of help come along the process, just some highlights are, you heard some of the students talk about it, but we do camps, you know, which, again, is a time of discipleship. Growing people change. It gives you a chance to kids to be kids and come and have fun. Our service projects, you know, you saw that. We just went to New Mexico. You saw some of the videos of that not too long ago. But those are some of the things in which we do to kind of fuel along and come along and help disciple and help the youth in our community to grow. So, this is the problem. This is the problem. Gen Z's, which is the youth group age, and so I want you to understand, there's two generations we're going to kind of talk about today, and there's not a lot of data yet, but right now the youth group age from 6th to 12th grade is considered Gen Z, okay? The ones that are coming up, the ones that are in elementary school and Club 316 and all those are considered Generation Alpha. That's the next generation. And so there's not a lot of data and study out there yet because they're still a pretty young generations. But I'm guessing there's going to be some similarities from Generation Z. But this is it. One of the biggest problems in Generation Z is they are being raised in a self-directed model of parenting, meaning parents let their kids make their own decisions about faith and morality. And I can't explain to you enough how dangerous that model of parenting is. And in a second, we're going to even talk about how unbiblical it is. But we have this idea that, oh, we just need to let our kids decide. We're just going to let them. And so we're going to deal with our own faith, and we're going to have our own faith, and we're going to work that out ourselves. And so then the kids can kind of figure it out themselves. And so let me ask you this. What are the odds of the 90 minutes that we have each and every week of influencing kids and telling them about Jesus and love and what Jesus has done for them and how to grow is going to trump the hours and hours and hours of things that they're being indoctrinated in school, the things that they're being indoctrinated by their friends. They're getting their faith and their morals from their friends, from TikTok, from social media, and how dangerous it is when that is what is shaping the kids' morals and kids' morals. And so we have to be very, very careful as parents to understand that. And we have to be concerning about that. And we can't just kind of say like, you know what? Hey, you just go figure it out. You just go do it. Because we need to be more intentional in our lives when it comes to that. But that's what's scary about this generation. And that's what's scary about the students that we have that come here on Wednesday nights. So I want to give you some stats. I'm gonna blow some numbers by you. Some of them might stick out to you. You know, you can think about if you want these slides. I'm sure they'll be online later. I can send them to you, whatever. But here it is. Nearly 25% of Generation Z identify as LGBTQ. I can't read that percentage. 9% say they're engaged in Scripture. 9% of Generation Z, meaning less than 1 out of 10 are engaged in Scripture. A Bible user, an active Bible user, is in 2023 is defined as using the Bible 3 or 4 times a year. A year. That's what it was. 70% of Gen Z support same-sex marriage. In 2001, more than half, 57% of Americans oppose same-sex marriage, while in 2019, 61% of Americans approve it. 70% say anxiety and depression are major issues among peers. And I wonder if that's not even increasing even more and more because you're still seeing the results of COVID coming out. I mean, there was times that some people, some teenagers, they didn't leave their house for like a year, it seemed like. You know, they didn't leave their, they might not even have seen the sun. They were just in their parents' basement playing video games for a whole year as they didn't have to do anything kind of thing. And so imagine trying to be integrated back into a social world. And of course, there's going to be mental anxiety. And of course, there's going to be issues of depression and stuff that comes along with that. Almost half of Generation Z in the United States are non-Caucasian, meaning that this, they are a diverse generation. Additionally, Generation Z is twice as likely to identify as atheist compared to U.S. adults. So get this, 25% of Gen Z attend church on a weekly basis. Millennials, when they were that age, were at 39%. So it's becoming a post-Christian society when it comes to some of those kids. So I thought you would like this. So a few weeks ago, and again, we have to understand that comparing one survey to another doesn't always work because of where the data was collected. Obviously, the data in which I collected was straight from the students here at our church, which is different probably than the data that was collected on some of those statistics that I just told you. They probably didn't walk into a church and say, what do you believe about this? It was probably in general. But here we go. Here's what The Rock says. Here's what people say. They said that 39.29%, so nearly 40% say they've drank alcohol. 93% say they've lied to your parents. So let's stop there for a second. I think that means there's a couple that lied about lying to their parents, because I would probably say that's 100%. But whatever, someone just thinks they're going to get in trouble, I'm going to figure out their handwriting or something, which I cared nothing about and have no idea who, or someone is just really completely honest with their parents all the time, 100% of the time. 55% say they've cheated on a test. 22% say they've viewed porn. 30% say they struggle with high anxiety. 19% that said they struggled with depression. 52% they've been bullied. 26% say they vaped. 15% they say they've tried pot, smoked pot. 74% believe the Bible is 100% true. 81% says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. 66% say sex before marriage is a sin. 81% say porn is a sin, and 85% say homosexuality is a sin. These are some of the things. There was lots of different questions that they were in the survey. I pulled out a few of them, so then you could kind of compare them to that. But that's where the kids in which we have on this particular Wednesday night, that's where they lied. Again, here's the problem. Generation Z is being raised by self-directed model of parenting, meaning parents let their kids make their own decisions about faith and morality. So what can we do about it? What does the Bible say about reaching the next generation? So in Psalm 78, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Psalm 78, we're going to look at the first four verses. Psalm 78, you can look on the screen as well. Asaph writes this psalm, and it's all about helping people remember and see the goodness of God to a stubborn and rebellious generation. So if you think about it for a second. There's a lot of characteristics between the Israelites and kind of where we are at as followers. The difference is the Israelites in the Old Testament, they didn't necessarily have the Holy Spirit to guide them. We have the Holy Spirit here. So there's a little bit of a difference there. But what I want you to understand is that the human nature of forgetting God and forgetting about the goodness of God and forgetting about that stuff is common. And we need to make sure that we emphasize and we teach the next generation about the goodness of God. And so this is what it says. It says this, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from your past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children." Think about that. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of our Lord, about his power, and about his mighty wonder. You see, when we start off a little bit in the Psalms, he starts off by saying, listen up. And listen, that's probably the thing that I say the most at youth group. Listen up. Hey, listen. Yo, listen. Hey, clap once if you can hear me. Listen, listen, listen. I say it all the time, and the kids are like, eh, maybe. All right? And so this is the thing. But what he's emphasizing in this, and what's lost in the kind of the translation, is he's saying, listen, you need to listen up with intention, with reverence and respect for who God is, and submission for who God is. That is the what's being emphasized here in the text there. You need to have a reverence and submit to what's being said. Think about what's being said, and that's what's incredibly important. So he says, listen up. This is what you need to do. Next, he says, you need to teach the hidden lessons of your past. And what I like is the author kind of went through some of the history. He says, listen, this is what God has done for you. He reminded them, if you read the rest of the psalm, he's reminding them about how God has been good to them, and God has been faithful to them, and God has been there. And he taught them about their past. Because one of the things that I was taught a long time ago is that the history will anchor us in reality. Meaning this, if we understand our history, it can help us to help us in our present to get to where we want to be in our future. And so it anchors us in our reality. And so it's very important that we do not forget how God has worked in our lives, that we do not forget about where God has worked and challenged us as a church, has worked in our lives individually. We need to understand that, because I think the history can anchor us into reality. And I think that's along the lines of what is being said here. And next he says, listen, we will tell the next generation about what God has done in our lives. You simply don't know how to reach the next generation. Simply just live your testimony and look for opportunities to tell about the greatness of God. Your testimony doesn't have to be about how bad you were and how evil you were and I was doing all these bad things and then all of a sudden God came and redeemed me. You know, make it about God's story in your life. You know, I was a sinner and this is what God did for me. This is how God worked in my life. And that is a personal interaction, a personal story that you can share. And what was being said is like, listen, this is how God has worked in the Israelites. This is how God has worked in the past of your generations. And you need to understand that the same God that was working there is the same God that can work for you here today. Guys, we need to teach the next generation a few simple truths. God's previous work with Israel, I just mentioned that. Number two, we can talk about God's power. You know, we really believe in an all-powerful God, a God that is in control and has power over everything. Though sometimes we don't understand it, right? Sometimes things, we have to go through circumstances, we have to go through things and trials and adversity when we were like, God, if you're all-powerful, just take care of this. But can I tell you that there's probably purpose in your trials? That there's probably purpose in your situations that you're going through? And sometimes, you know, I like it. I coach baseball, right? And so I do this a lot. And sometimes the best thing for the kids to do is to fail. Is to fail. Because you know what? They're going to learn in the long run. So if they fail at a younger age, if they learn like, hey, that pitch didn't work, or hey, my approach at bat didn't work, or my fielding isn't very good right now. And if they fail when they're younger, and it's hard to watch your kids struggle. It's hard to watch them not there, because you want them to go have success immediately. But the thing is maybe part of their path to get to where they want to be is that they got to fail. And I wonder if God isn't the same way. That sometimes you got to struggle in your life and you got to go through your situation in order to get to where God wants you to be. So trust in God's power. We need to teach God's power. God's mighty wonders, reverence and awe of God. One of the things that I try to emphasize over and over with the students on Wednesday nights is the simple fact of worship is a response to who God is. You can come here and you can just listen to the songs, that's fine. You can even sing the songs and your heart be so far from him. Or when you're worshiping, when you are spending the time, whether it's at church or at home or whatever it is that you're worshiping, if you look at it as worship is a response to who God is and what he has done, and that's what he's deserving of, it opens up a whole new avenue when it comes to worship. And we need to help kids and students understand that. We need to help them to understand that God's mighty wonders, and as a result of who God is, it's a reverence and an awe of God. the kids hear me say this a lot, but in Revelation, you know, we get a picture of heaven and day and night, you know, it's holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And day and night, they're singing that. And us here on earth might be like, yeah, that's kind of boring, you know, like really that's all we're going to sing. Like maybe I get it for like, you know, once a day or something like that, but all day long, that's what they say. But we're missing the point. You see, they're not forced to do that. They're not forced to say, holy, holy, holy God is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. They're doing it out of response for whose presence they're in. They're doing it because that's the greatness and the glory of God that is there. And what an awesome opportunity it would be for us to realize that every time that we walk into church on a Sunday morning or every time we're worshiping at home, that we are doing it out of a response for his glory, for who he is, and for what he has done. And that's what we need to continue to teach the next generation. So what can you do to get involved? What can you do to get involved? Let's talk first to parents. Like if you are a parent watching online, or if you're a parent here today of a Generation Alpha, Generation Z, there's no time to be neutral or passive in teaching spiritual lessons to your kid. It's completely unbiblical. Look at Deuteronomy. This is what Moses was writing. He says this, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I have given you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Meaning, as you walk through life, wherever you're at, there's a spiritual lesson. There is areas in which you can bring God. There's areas in which God can be involved in and can be a part of your life. Not just a part of your life. He can be the central figure in your life. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Meaning this, if you are a parent today, it is time that you take a little more active role in your kids' life. And let me tell you this, and I mean this, youth ministry for me would look way differently if we had a community, not just a church, a community, a world that did parenting a biblical way. It would look way different than it does on typical Wednesday nights. This is what Charles Spurgeon says. He says this, the more of a parental teaching, the better. Ministers and Sabbath school teachers were never meant to be substitutes for mother's tears and father's prayers. If you're here and your kids are grown up, that doesn't mean you can't help encourage other parents. You've been there. You have wealth of experiences. You have your times that you've failed miserably as a parent. You can reach out to other parents that are dealing with different issues that you can relate to, that you've been there, and you have a lending ear. You can be there to help. Maybe there's things that you did to raise your kids that worked, and you're like, hey, this is what worked. This is what helped me to have my kids following Jesus. This is what didn't work. This is what worked. Take it for what you want. But you can be involved in a life somewhere. Even if you're not directly involved in the next generation or working with Generation Alpha or Gen Z, there's a generation somewhere. There's a generation of parents that you can influence, that you can impact. What can you do? So, very simply, you got to have some application here. Okay, so we have these programs on Wednesday nights. We have tons of volunteers. Listen, give the volunteers a hand really quick. I know there's a few here. They do an awesome job. There is no way our youth programs would be where they're at without them willing to come and give of their time on Wednesday nights. I mean, there are other things that they could do. Sometimes they're exhausted from work. They're exhausted from their own issues of family. But they show up each Wednesday night working with students and working with kids in order to teach them about Jesus. And I am so grateful for each and every one of them because they could go anywhere. They could do anything. There's other things to be done on a Wednesday night. But they know and they believe in what they're doing to come and be involved here into reaching the next generation. And our church's youth ministries would not be where they're at without, first, God entrusting those students to us, and second, without the volunteers being willing to come and give up their time. So what can you do? You can invest personally in parents. That's what we just talked about. Number two, you can invest personally in the next generation. Listen, we are winding down our youth ministry. So we kind of, this Wednesday is our last youth ministry, and then we're off for the summer kind of thing. We do camps and we do different things like that. But we are off kind of for the summer, and then we kick it back off in August. But you want to come get involved? come get involved on a Wednesday night. We are in need of volunteers. We have some volunteers that need a break. They need to step away. There are plenty of ministries in which you can come be involved in on a Wednesday, whether it's from little kids to students to teenagers, wherever. There are things in which you can do to come be involved. So get involved. Number two, maybe Wednesdays don't work for you. Maybe you can get involved and you can teach children's church. We are in need of children's church workers, and that's also part of working with the next generation. It's just not the Wednesday night. It's Sunday. Right now, there's a group over there. But we have four or five volunteers that do it on a rotational basis. If we had three more people that would do it on a rotational basis, everybody would do it like once every 2 months, okay? And it'd be very, very, very simple. But it's important, and it's an impact that you can do. And it doesn't take a lot of prep time, but it's something that you can do to get involved in the next generation. Is come help on a Wednesday, come help on a Sunday, sign up, help. And relationships are the keys to influence. Maybe none of those will work for you, but maybe you have a chance to build a relationship with someone that's younger than you. Maybe you have a chance to build a relationship. Like kids, students, they need to know that people love them. They need to know that. Regardless of their failures, regardless of their struggles, we are there for them, and we love them. And you have a chance to be that person. Some of, I get all excuses all the time when I try to recruit people. I'm too old. I won't know what to say. I'm too young. I'm too busy. Listen, I've heard it all. 20 years, I've heard it all. Listen, some of my best volunteers, some of the best volunteers in this church would not be considered young. Is that fair to say? Like some of the best volunteers aren't necessarily the young ones. Listen, they have wisdom, they have insight, and simply what they do is love students. That's what they do. They love students, and they love them for who they are and help them to understand who Jesus has called them to be. You want to get involved? Come get involved. Come talk to me. Pray about it. Seriously. This is a little commercial, you know, because come August, throw a slide up there saying, hey, I need help on Wednesday nights. Think about it. I'm planting the idea right now in your head. And three, pray and encourage those that are working with students on Wednesday nights. It's hard. You know, the Bible says this, don't grow weary of doing good because in due time you will reap a harvest. You know, it's hard. And when you're in the midst of it and you have, you sometimes take it personally when you see students make poor choices. When you see students who kind of walk away from their faith, you take it personally, and it hurts, and it digs at you. Or when you see kids who are making poor choices, and you're like, oh, you see a train coming, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's hard, and it's frustrating. Pray for those that work with kids. Pray for those that are heartbroken when they know that they're sending kids home to a tough situation. Pray for those leaders that are going to be at camps, whatever camps it is. Pray for them. As they have a chance to influence another generation. But you can always pray, and you can always find ways to encourage the leaders that are here on Wednesday nights, because it's hard. It is hard. It is not easy. Frederick Douglass said, without struggle, there is no progress. And so sometimes we have to endure the struggle in order to help get to where we want the kids to go. So this is our Wednesday night programs. This is what we do on Wednesday nights. This is the stuff in which we do. Would you bow your heads with me for a second as the worship team comes up? Would you, as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you spend a moment just thanking God for the students in which he's entrusted to us? Would you? And thank God for a church that is supportive and focused on reaching the next generation. And would you pray with me about the next generation? Father, the next generation, we lay them before you, Generation Z, Generation Alpha. Would you help us to continue to reach them? Would you raise up people within our church that will be willing to come and laugh with students, cry with students, lead students into the right way. Father, would you be with the parents of this next generation? Would you help them to be actively involved in the spiritual aspects of their children's lives? Would you help them not to be passive, but to be intentional? Father, thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the things that you've done for us. We thank you and praise you in your name. Amen.